The Utah Jazz run into a buzzsaw defensively, and the balance was off offensively. We'll look at it. Plus, the Utah, this is a screwed up open. Plus, the balance of the Jazz's offense, the same thing I just said, and we'll start our new feature looking at, do they have anything we want? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow.
Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Oh, I really screwed up that open.
Almost as bad as my hair. Where's the hat?
Need a hat today. All right. I think I was flustered on how silly I looked on camera. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of every single day. We are free and available for you on all platforms. We are on YouTube. Feel free to subscribe. Follow us on YouTube. Everyone on the network's been great on YouTube but me. So feel free to subscribe on YouTube and give me some love. We may change some things on YouTube, how we do it. I love the live show, but there's a chance I might work away from some live shows. It would actually help the YouTube a little bit. All right. Weird night last night, evidently still lingering for me because I just butchered that open about as badly as anyone possibly can. So I want to kind of run through the night, and then I've taken a few clips of the fourth quarter offensively. If you missed it last night because you're watching football or something, it's kind of a weird game. We opened up wildly offensively minded and awesome on both sides. And then by the end of the night, we just couldn't score. You know, we're short Donovan, and it has an impact. And one of the things it has an impact on is if you look at our game flow in that ball game and of who's on the floor when and things of that nature, one of the things that you see is we end up having to have Trent Forrest and Royce O'Neal on the floor at the same time at multiple times in that game. And so if you look at it, Trent Forrest plays with Royce O'Neal here in the first quarter for a little period of time, and we end up being outscored by one. It's just a really hard combination for us to have both those guys on the floor at the same time because neither of them wants to shoot. Royce really was reluctant to shoot. Trent doesn't have the shot, and he's on with Eric Paschal. Forrest played great. This is not a criticism of him, but this just shows that kind of our balance was off. Then we have it again here in the second quarter. They're on the floor together again, and they go minus two in that three-minute stretch. Then in the third quarter, Forrest comes in and Royce is on the floor again for this extended stretch. This time he's on the floor for almost the entire time. And in that stretch of time, we're actually even. And then finally, the last one, Forrest and O'Neal are on the floor again and we're minus five. So when the two of them were on the floor together last night, which is pretty unavoidable right now, we were minus eight. And that's, you know, frankly, that's a lot of the game. So when you start, like, what was the impact of not having Donovan or not being quite right? That was a large part of it. Our offensive drought starts when those two are on the floor together. The other one is, you know, one of our keys is this great lineup that we have, which is Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, Mike Conley, Rudy Gay. So it's Clarkson, Ingles, Gobert, Conley, and Rudy Gay. And that lineup did not play well last night. That lineup was minus six in its first stint together, but from the first to the second quarter. Then it was great. Then it was in the fourth quarter, the coaches got it back out on the floor again, and it was plus 11, and that's what it went on the 11-0 run. That's what you'd expect. So it was plus five. Forrest wasn't great in the first stint. That lineup, which is so deadly, is interesting because Joe and Jordan are not playing great right now. And so that's a tough little one for us to have as like a key lineup for us in who we are and what we do in how that looks. So I think, you know, when I look at last night's game and we can kind of run through a few of the notes on it if we look at the stats like we always do, it's a pretty incredible little run through of what you kind of to summarize the game on what was a weird night. If you watch postcast last night, I didn't have any idea what had happened. I went back and just watched the fourth quarter. And in a moment, I'm going to take you through three plays that kind of show you what took place in this ball game, because at least late, you know, I just think we're shorthanded and our balance is such that for us to be good, frankly, we have to be lined up pretty well. Let's look at our advanced stat numbers. We always look at it. There's some interesting numbers here in this one. Mike Conley's defense last night, 96.2 when he was on the floor. Rudy Gay, really good. He had a great game last night. He was on it. Trent Forrest, our lack of offense when Trent Forrest is on the floor, I think came back to bite him defensively. I thought he was super good last night. The stats overall for the night are a little tough on him at 122 defensive rating because I think that's just we had a hard time scoring. So let's look at it period by period because it was a fascinating game or just a weird game. I don't know if it's fascinating. So we don't play any defense in the first quarter. The Warriors have an offensive rating of 150. I mean, it's just amazing. But we match it with a 132, so we're still in the game. In the second quarter, it's the same thing as we're a little better in the second quarter. Our defensive rating is a 105. Theirs is a 119. And Steph is actually, like, Steph is struggling. Steph is hurting them. Steph is having one of the worst nights ever. Rudy's amazing defensively with a 92.9 in that stretch. When Eric Pascoe's on the floor, we weren't as good in that realm. Then we go to the third quarter, and the defense falls apart again. Goes to a 140, and I actually come out of a break here with Ron and say, hey, we got to switch the focus of the broadcast. Our defensive rating's like a 140 right now. We've got to really take a second and focus in on what's happened to us defensively tonight, because without Donovan, we're supposed to be good. Defensively, our offense was not good. Mike and Joe, 140. Defense rating. Then we get to the fourth quarter, and our defense gets awesome again. Our defense rating in the fourth quarter last night was a 50. It's like unbelievable. And then flip it around, our offense was a 77.3, and so we couldn't score, and that's why we couldn't win. So a really, really strange night in that sense of the fact that this game kind of went like this, and you don't usually see that in a lot of ways. I don't know how to feel about it from like, so we didn't have Donovan. And then Rudy and Boyan get hurt with the 3:30 mark. And if, you know, I don't know who's going to be able to play tonight. That's obviously the biggest concern. And, you know, they didn't have Draymond or Clay. Clay doesn't help them yet. And then Steph has the worst shooting night of his career and we lose. Like, it feels like on that margin, no Draymond and Steph having the worst shooting night of his career, we probably should win. Like, for all the nights we're going to talk about that we lost, in which another team made shots, here's a night where they missed shots and we didn't take advantage of it. So it does feel a little bit like, ooh, maybe we should have got that one. We played awfully hard. The work on the offensive glass was great. The defensive commitment, for the most part, like late, was really, really good, though it was really bad for stretches. I mean, so really, honestly, hard game for me to kind of wrap my arms around and look at because of kind of, you know, what we're talking about. And that is that it just went all over the map. And as a broadcaster, frankly, I think you have to have a storyline, and the storyline that we really came up with from last night was kind of talking about the Warriors defensively and how they don't allow you to get to the basket and some things like that. And the Jazz really did a pretty good job of that for much of the night. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you look at it, the Jazz ended up last night only with 17 shots at the rim, which is a little low. And if you go period by period, they were 4 of 5 in the first quarter, 2 of 3 in the second, 3 of 6 in the third. And then in the fourth quarter, just 2 of 3 again, the floater zone, which, you know, everyone doesn't want to talk about, like, it's a bad shot. It's a terrible shot. We were 6 of 23 in the floater zone because that's a 40% shot. And the Warriors cut it off and force you into it. That's usually what we force people into. I know everyone, oh, there are too many threes and this and that. And it's so great. We can shoot twos. It's a bad shot. Like, the numbers will eventually come back to get you. And they did there. So, you know, it's sometimes all you have. And late in the shot clock, it's your choice. But you shouldn't be living by it. And we lived by it a little bit too much last night. And it hurt us. So, overall takeaway from the game last night, hard fought, weird game, not sure how we should really feel about it in the sense of winning or losing the ball game. And then just because of without Donovan, and this is kind of, I'll get into this in the next segment some more. We just have this balance of that is so finite, right? Or so, delicate right now for us to succeed. And I'm going to get into this some more, but in this night, you really, I don't mean to zero in on those two guys, but you have two, you know, if you have Royce and Trent on the floor together and neither of them is going to shoot, it's super hard. And then, frankly, if they're on the floor with Gobert, you then have three non-shooters on the floor. They weren't on the floor with Gobert very often in those lineups, but you really have three non-shooters on the floor. The Jazz coaching staff did a nice job that they actually weren't, because Rudy and Mike match most of their minutes together. But, it's crazy hard for Royce O'Neal and Trent Forrest to be on the floor together when neither of them is going to shoot and for us to win. And that's where our balance gets kind of wiped out in a lot of ways. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located three plays I'm going to show you in just a second on how great the Warriors are defensively. So I'll have that for you coming up here in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located out in Woods Cross, also in Logan. The Chevy lineup of cars, just terrific. You know the Suburban, you know the Tahoe. Those are the Utah County assault vehicles. Frankly, they're just Utah assault vehicles that we have out there for you. But also then the Equinox, the Trax, super. The Blazer has been rebuilt and is gorgeous. The trucks are amazing. The Silverado, as well as the Colorado, that Silverado truck is just a pleasure to drive when I had it a little while ago. And the Colorado is kind of the more fun, zippy truck that kind of does all your handy stuff. Go check it out at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. If you're going to stop by either locations, feel free to email me first and we will set you up with a meeting. Today's show is also brought to you by Truebill. This is a really cool app. They sell Truebill to you primarily as a way to stop subscriptions and monitor that. It's also just a great way to monitor your spending, organize your spending. I have the app. I've used it. It's pretty cool. It'll tell you if you got a major expenditure as a security. It's a new app. It helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it easy, and Truebill Concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions. Don't fall for subscription scams. Don't start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It can save you thousands a year. I will tell you also as an app user, a lot more than that. I actually like the other features even more, just notification of what we're spending, how much we spend each week, things like that. Pretty cool. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Thanks very much for making this the first listen of your day. All right, let's see. I've never done this before. We're going to try something new here. I want to share. I went through the fourth quarter of the game last night, and I wanted to run through kind of what happened. And frankly, just kind of a quick run through, you know, Clarkson makes a drive to the basket. They're big. He no pass possession misses. We go to Rudy Gay for spot up, post up. He gets blocked. Like just neither of our guys are good enough on those plays to make plays. Beautiful set play out of a timeout. Clarkson airballs it. Then Forrest runs a pick and roll and they just hug the shooter, sit on Gobert, and Forrest floats and misses. Like this isn't like stunning stuff. They're just really good. Forrest, I'll show you the play here. Forrest makes a nice drive and gets to the free throw line, but you'll see how little they're guarding anyone. Then they, you know, we run the plays you should run, a handoff to Bogey on a pick and roll, but Forrest and O'Neal are on the floor and Bogey has no room. I'll show that to you. We get the ball back. We swing around. They're not guarding Forrest in the corner. He shoots a three, misses. Conley comes back in. Conley drives. They have Toscana Anderson, 6'8", Wiggins, 6'8", Poole, Looney, 6'9", and Lee on the floor. No Curry, all defense. And you can feel it. Conley drives. Looney's dropping. Conley gets caught in the lane, tries to pass a tough pass to Gobert. He could never catch. There's just no room for him. He's 6'1". He looks so small, and he turns it over. Then the next one, Clarkson's way out of control. We go into Bogey in the post. They double. Looney makes a smart play, doubles with a shot clock, kicks out to Gobert for a three. Then beautiful play. Ingles on a pick and roll. He actually flips up a wild shot and scores. Then Conley drives, throws an amazing pass out to Ingles for a three, and he misses, and that's when everyone gets hurt at the 3:10 mark. We're kind of done at that point. So it's nothing like, it's honestly like, I hate to say it, but like our guys just weren't good enough. Like that's, I don't have like, it's not like we broke down and got selfish. It's not like we didn't run the right plays. Like honestly, like Clarkson tried to drive in the lane. He just wasn't good enough to score. Rudy Gay went in the post and got a shot blocked. The defender was better. Set play for Clarkson on a timeout. He missed an air ball. Good play. Forrest driving. He misses. He's just not like, he's not good enough. He missed a floater in traffic. It's a tough shot. He then made a beautiful play and drove to the basket. He gets a wide open Bogey, gets a handoff into a pick and roll. Their defense is just better than Bogey was. Like they suffocate him. I'll show it to you in a second. Forrest is open for a three. He just misses it because he's not a good shooter. Conley turns it over because their defense was just bigger and longer and more massive at that moment. And Conley couldn't get rid of it. Clarkson out of control. Wasn't a great play. And we'll get into this in a second. Like when Clarkson's not good, Clarkson has to be good for us to survive without Donovan. And then when Clarkson's not having a good night, and Joe's not having a good night, then suddenly Royce, what he doesn't do, like Royce's lack of shooting suddenly becomes a problem because Jordan's not making shots and Joe's not, is one of 6 from 3. Like it's just this balance along the way. If Jordan's doing what Jordan did for the first half of last year and Joe's doing what Joe did for last year, then Royce cannot shoot. It's fine. And if Donovan's in the game, but if suddenly Clarkson's not shooting very well and Joe's somewhat reluctant or not shooting very well, or it's a fast, speedy game and Joe has a hard time getting a shot off, then Royce's lack of shooting is accentuated and becomes a problem. Like, it's just a balance all the way down, and it's just delicate right now. It's just super delicate. And some of it has to do with, frankly, since we have Rudy as a non-creator offensively on the floor, then when other guys become non-creators, it becomes too many guys that are non-creators. So it's tough. All right, let me see if I can do this. I'm sharing a little bit differently. I'm trying to share more on YouTube than we ever have before. So I think I've got it here. So here's the first one. If you're on YouTube, you're watching. And this is Clarkson's drive to the basket where he doesn't score. Like, and this is just, and I don't mean this rudely, like, so Jordan Clarkson is driving to the basket. He's at the restricted area. Kayvon Looney's on him. Looney's 6'8". And Clarkson's 6'4". Rudy's rolling behind. Wiggins has already cut off Rudy's roll. You can see Wiggins has got his left shoulder into Rudy. He's at the dotted line. All five Warriors are in the paint. This is why they allow the fewest shots at the rim of any team in the NBA. And on the left side of the floor is Royce O'Neal and Trent Forrest. So we can, like, criticize Jordan Clarkson for having a bad game last night, which I guess in a sense I just said he wasn't particularly good. But, like, this is why. There's no way he's throwing the pass over Looney and over 6'8 Otto Porter Jr. to Bogdanovich in the right corner. They're not guarding O'Neal or Forrest with any concern. They've cut off Rudy's roll. Like, there's no way for Jordan Clarkson to make a play here. This is just, the Warriors' defense is great. Like, that's the only way I think to show that is, here's, they're just completely suffocated. This is the 17-minute mark of the YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast and want to go see it, and I'll post it probably on my Twitter at DLock09. As well. But if you look at this, this is the impact of having no two non-shooters on the floor. Like, if Trent Forrest is Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lee's not in there, and it's just not the same play, or if that's Jordan Clarkson. So that's the first one I would share with you that really was, you know, that shows what the Warriors were doing. Let me see if I can get the next one for you up and easily for you as I try to get better and better at this stuff. I'm not sure I've totally got. Here's the next one. And what we have here is Bogdanovich's drive to the basket. So again, Bogey's driving. Trent Forrest is in the left corner. O'Neal's in the right corner. The guy guard, Kayvon Looney's an amazing defensive player and is probably the most underrated player in the league. And Looney is all over Bogey. There's just no room for him to go. And Bogey doesn't have, like, he's going to jump over the top, of him. Wiggins is in the paint, so Bogey has no choices. The one thing the Jazz kept happening last night was the ball handler got in front of Rudy. So there's nothing, like, Bogey's not a great pick and roll guy. This is like no Donovan, no Mike at this point of the game. So we ran a pick and roll for Bogey on a handoff. Bogey's not great at this. One of the things Bogey does, he gets out in front of Rudy, which eliminates Rudy's roll as an option. So if the spacing here between Bogey and Rudy's a problem, the fact that Bogey's two steps ahead of Rudy and Rudy's back at the free throw line. But again, you just see their incredible length. Otto Porter's at the left elbow. There's no way to throw a pass back out to Jordan. Forrest is in the corner. Wiggins at 6'8 has that cut off, and Looney's all over. It's pretty awesome, actually. And it's, you know, so some of this to me is like, as I looked back at this game, and hey, we were really, really, really bad defensively, or offensively, but some of it's just they're really, really good. So the last one to look at, I think, was just shows you like what it takes. And this was an amazing play by Mike Conley. So Mike Conley's back in the game. He does a speed drive from the angle left up. He starts it up above left where the official is in the picture. He comes left down the lane and he gets into the lane. And again, four of the Warriors are in the paint. I mean, he got there fast and he gets in the paint, and Rudy Gobert again is trailing. So our spacing's off, but there was no pick set. He denied the pick and just blitzed down the lane on a drive. Looney's got him cut off nicely. Lee comes down to cut off his drive. I don't know. I think this is Poole on the near side. Is sprinting to O'Neal in the corner. Conley actually wraps his pass back up to Joe Ingles, and he misses the three. This is the play then where everyone gets hurt. But this is also just an example of what it takes from the Warriors to get a good play on the Warriors. Conley makes an amazing play here. He has to jump in the air, somehow get a left-handed pass over the length of defense to Ingles. It's a high-risk play. The Warriors' defense is suffocated. O'Neal's in this corner, but if by the time he tries to throw the pass to O'Neal, either Lee's going to deflect it or Poole's going to steal it. And it is worth noting, like, Steph's not in any of these plays. This is, they have five defensive players on the floor because they can build a defensive team around Steph in that fashion. So, you know, the first one I think was a sign that I just showed you of just what happens when you have Trent Forrest and Royce O'Neal on the floor together and that balance. The second one was just how good the Warriors are. Bogey's driving. It's the right play. We execute it right. We're just, frankly, we just weren't good enough to beat their defense because it's that long and that good. And then this one is us being good enough to beat it. But look what it takes is that incredible Mike Conley in the air trying to throw a pass across his court to Ingles. And he does. And then Joe just misses the three. That's pretty remarkable and difficult stuff for a team to do. So, you know, they're really good. Like, they're the best defense in the NBA. It's probably how people feel when they play us offensively. That offense, you do the right thing and we move it one extra pass and they're the best offense in the NBA. So that was them as the best defense in the NBA. Those players are all on the floor because they play defense. Those players are all there and they're just, you know, they were better than us. Like, I just, sometimes I think you got to tip your hat. And defensively, they were better. So on a night where Steph doesn't make shots and they don't have Draymond, imagine if they had Draymond, but Looney's great. And I think you got to realize how great Looney is. He made a ton of plays last night. One little cool thing last night in the game also was Andrew Wiggins' development. And that is Andrew Wiggins used to try to fly over Gobert. Sometimes he'd dunk it. More often than not, Rudy would block it. Last night, he drove into him with a shoulder and then fell back with his athleticism and hit. You wonder, like, why young players don't win in the NBA. That's a good example of a player maturing and understanding how to play in the league and what it takes. You know, I missed on the Warriors this year, my predictions, but really what I missed on the Warriors is who's playing. Like, I thought Wiseman would play. I thought Kuminga would play. I thought Moody would play. Like, they don't play. Kuminga played 8 minutes last night. He has no idea what he's doing. If he could have played more, we would have won. I mean, look at who they played. Gary Payton II is their bench player. Damon Lee, who is 29 years old, I think, despite the fact he's definitely a vet at this point, even though he hasn't played a lot. Toscana Anderson and Bielitsa. That's their bench players. Otto Porter, Poole. Like, they're playing vets the same way we are. That's how you win in this league. All right, we are going to start a new feature that you guys are going to love. We're going to turn on the ESPN trade machine. It's against, like, all of my instincts, but it's all anybody wants to talk about. So the third segment of every show between now and the trade deadline is going to be called, Do They Have Anyone We Want? I'll put it up on YouTube, and we'll look at it as well if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening on the podcast. Either way, I think it'll translate for you. So we will look at three teams, Atlanta, Boston, and Brooklyn. Today, we'll just go alphabetically east to west, and each day do three teams and see if, did they have anything we want? Will be our look as we head toward the trade deadline on February 10th. Today's show, Locked On Jazz, thanks very much for making it your first listen, is brought to you by my friends at Built Bar. Oh, I got a package of the Churro Puffs. I kind of dig this puff thing. It's a funky marshmallow texture. It certainly feels like you're having a candy bar, and then it's pretty, like, it's crazy. Like, right? Like, it's 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and 6 grams of sugar. All, it's amazing, and they're really good. And the coconut marshmallow puffs, I think I might have to order after having the churro puffs because I kind of dig the puff thing. The bars are great too. Coconut brownie chunk is my favorite. Caramel almond delight is my partner's favorite. 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, 4 sugars, and 17 proteins. Promo code LOCKED15 gets you a 15% discount. Go to BuiltBar.com. Check it out. Today's show is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Here's the lines for the NFC and AFC Championship game. The Chiefs are a 7-point favorite, and the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite. If you want to get in on the action on those two games tonight, the Jazz, who knows who we have available? I've not gotten any report yet, but it is probably not going to be a great scene for us. We are a 9-point underdog at Phoenix. Woo! But I don't know who plays. I don't think Rudy goes with a calf strain. I don't know if Boyan, I'm concerned about Boyan. If they're not going to go, does Mike go? If Donovan's not going to, like, woo! We could have Toronto Raptors lineup out there tonight. The NBA futures, are we slipping? Are we slipping? Brooklyn's at plus 295. The Warriors are plus 375. Suns are at plus 675. Bucks are at plus 700. We're still fifth most likely to win the title at plus 1,000. That's at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus. All right, let's play Let's play Who Do They Have That We Might Want? Our first edition of this silly little game. Let me see if I can share a window with you. Look at me just kind of trying to get really good at this. Uh-oh, I don't think I have it. Here we are. Yes, I do. All right. The Atlanta Hawks are the first one. John Collins, 5-year, $23 million deal might be available. We have to be, they probably want Ben Simmons for that. Danilo Gallinari, they're paying $20 million with another year left on his deal. Clint Capella is not eligible yet. We don't need it. Bogdan Bogdanovich is 3 year, two more years left at 18 each. DeLon Wright would be an interesting defensive player. $8 million is a lot. Can't shoot it. Not sure he's that much better than Trent Forrest. Trae Young, we'd obviously want. DeAndre Hunter. Okungu is going to be great. He's really, really playing well. They just acquired Kevin Knox. Lou Williams is kind of in his last stages. Kevin Herter, they just signed to an extension. He's a nice player. I don't think they're moving him. Gorgui Dieng's interesting. 1 year, $4 million backup center. He's can actually shoot it, stretch the floor, play a little five. I think he's on his last legs a little bit. Like, I don't think he's playing quite as well as he once did. He actually was originally our draft pick. He's playing like every other night for like 4 minutes a night. He's not a part of their deal. Are they going to release him at the end of the year? He was in Minnesota. If you just kind of see, he's just kind of dropped fundamentally. He's a 36% three-point shooter. He's actually maybe the kind of player that is more appealing on paper than he is in real life. Like, you tell me about Gorgui Dieng and my reaction's like, oh, like hard-nosed, can shoot the three a little bit, 6'10", but there's also clearly something that, like, he's not getting any time. He left Minnesota, who was bad, and he went to Memphis. He played 17 games. Then he played 22. Then he played 16. He's playing like 9 minutes a night. It's heading the wrong direction, and yet he does all these things. So that's always a big caution to me on a player like that, that there might be some, you know, some reason why that, you know, unless you're watching him every single day, is part of the reason that you feel that way about him. So from an Atlanta standpoint, unless you're pulling off something weird, which is Bogdanovich, I don't know, unless they're in a financial trouble, I don't think they'd be willing to move Bogdanovich, but frankly, if they are in financial trouble a little bit with upcoming deal to, and they want to, and you want to get off it. So that's for us to get to 18 is probably Joe and Royce or something of that sort. We get even more offensive-minded, less defensive-minded. He's a nice player. I do like him, and it would be a total disaster from a play-by-play standpoint to call two Bogdanoviches. But that would be the one thing. I don't know what Atlanta's going to do. They're trying to couple a bunch of pieces together to get Ben Simmons or do something of that sort, and they've got to play DeAndre Hunter here pretty soon. So I think that would, you know, that's the only reason why someone like – I don't think Bogdanovich would be available, but I do think it's at least interesting. Let's look at Boston for a second. You know, the big question is, are they going to move either Brown or Tatum? I can't imagine why. I'd love to have Al Horford, but not at $27 million for next year. Marcus Smart's been talked about a lot, but that's a $71 million contract. And yes, you'd better get some draft capital, and he can't shoot at all. Josh Richardson is a pretty good athlete. I think we run into a little bit of the Josh Richardson, the same thing we do with Gorgui Dieng. Like, the concept of him sounds so awesome. The reality might not be. If you look at him in Miami, he has this kind of fairly good year. Plays 81 games, starts 81, 33. They weren't great that year. He shoots 38%. Since then, 36, 34, 33. Now this year, 40% from three. So he's a 31% shooter, 36% shooter. He really had a tough year in Dallas last year, playing 25 minutes a night off the bench. He's a pretty good athlete. He's 6'5", 200. In our system, maybe he gets so many open looks that it's completely, you know, worthwhile for him to be able to make those plays. Dennis Schroeder's probably available and causing them consternation. And otherwise, they have I love Grant Williams, but I can't imagine them getting rid of Grant Williams. He's a beautiful, nice player, does a lot of things, doesn't quite have a position. I like PJ Dozier. They just acquired a trade, but he's got an ACL. He's out for the year. And obviously, Jaylen Brown's the big piece everyone's talking about there. So yes, we'd all like him. Does Brooklyn have anybody we would like? What about Paul Millsap? Bulls are going to move Paul. He's on a minimum. I don't think he can play center. Otherwise, you know, you've got the big boys. They're not going to trade. They're not going to trade Joe Harris. They're not going to trade Patty Mills. Javon Carter's an interesting backup. I'm sure he's perfect for them at 3.6. They're probably not going to move him. So not a lot on this roster. James Johnson, Blake Griffin, all on the minimum. LaMarcus, all on the minimum. I don't think you're going to find a lot. on this roster. So in our first edition of Do They Have Anyone We Want, not a huge amount of anyone we wanted on those three teams. It's not easy to find guys on this. The double bogey, which is bad in golf, is probably the best option. And maybe Atlanta's in a financial bind and we can do something of that sort, but I don't know. Can you imagine Bogdan versus bogey versus, holy smokes, that's just enough to blow my head and scare me. All right, we'll do that tomorrow. So who are we looking at tomorrow? Tomorrow we will look at the Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers as our three teams, as we'll do three teams each day as we walk toward the trade deadline on Do They Have Anyone We Would Want. Zach quickly asked any chance we would sign Marc Gasol. I think he's pretty well retired. We talked to him in the offseason. We looked at him as a possibility before Whiteside, and I think he left the Lakers, decided to stay. Wanted to stay in Europe for whatever reason. So, we'll see. Maybe I'm a homer, but it seemed like the Warriors were overly physical and not called on its good defense, but sheesh, didn't seem fair. Well, I think you just have better handle physical play. I did not have that feeling. Anyway, good game last night. Tonight, I have no idea what we're going to have. I'm concerned about Rudy hasn't had any muscle. Interesting, Rudy's never had a muscle problem at all. Like, that's the beauty of Russell. First time, and you wonder, four games off COVID and sitting out, like, does it have an impact? Like, you just don't know right now. There's just so many things we don't know. We do know that 150 athletes have not died from COVID, though. We do know that. Have a good one. It is Locked On Jazz. Got a little dagger in there. Talk to you soon.